Good morning. What a great song to end on and to begin to hear from God's Word this morning. The sermon title is, Where's Your Hope? What an appropriate song to begin with and to end worship time with, to begin the message with. And this morning, where I start's not going to be where I end up. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you some information that I received this past summer from a seminar that I attended from MDS. I actually had a date kind of picked out for this message before the tornadoes came through the other week. So let's begin. Turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 21. You can turn to Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he, Jesus, saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. And so he said, Truly, I say to you that this poor woman has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. And this, too, is a little bit of dilemma this morning. How much do we trust God? In today's message, I touch on health insurance and life insurance and disaster preparedness. And I probably will not please quite everyone here this morning, but that's okay. My aim is to point us towards Christ this morning. My goal is to reaffirm in our hearts where our hope is. And my purpose is to be able to prepare you to share that same hope that is in you, especially when you are faced with disaster in your neighborhood, because I believe, brothers and sisters, it is coming. And if you spend time with MDS, they don't tell you that it's not coming, they tell you that it is coming. It is imminent that disaster will happen in their circles. And so, in light of that, let's continue as we look through Luke 21, beginning again in verse 5. And then some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations. And he said, These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And again, I've mentioned this before, but as I understand history, it was not 70 or 80 years later that the Romans burned the temple from the inside out. And the gold that was overlaid on the walls and on all the columns in that wonderful, ornate temple all melted down and ran into every little tiny crack of its foundation. And the Romans removed every stone and scraped all the gold out, and there was nothing left of the temple. And so they asked him again in verse 7, continuing on, they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. I like verse 9 here. It says, When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Isn't that so opposite of how we feel when we hear of wars and commotions? We get a little apprehensive. But if you know that bad things are coming, you can prepare. And you don't have the same level of fear, and maybe you don't have any incapacitating fear if you prepare, if you know things are coming. I believe if someone told you that your home was to be destroyed, that you would prepare for that. And when it happened, it would be distressful. And yet, on another way, you were prepared for that. And so, here I am telling you. So, Let's read on, verse 10. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. And by your patience, possess your souls. Now, some of these things have happened, and some of these things that we just read will happen. But either way, the bottom line is verse 18, not a hair of your head shall be lost. Amen. In all of the uncertainty and all of the trauma, God's promises ring true. And not a hair of your head shall be lost, and by your patience possess your souls. And skip down to verse 25 in Luke chapter 21. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming to the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And if you think about the earth and how it works, what controls what and how the balance is, the heavens, the moon, the way that the earth rotates, gravity, all of those things are controlled by the heavens. The moon and how close it comes to our earth and how far it goes away from our earth determines the tides of our oceans. So when it says here that the powers of heavens will be shaken, that can be quite a few changes that happen. And let me just ask, can you agree with me that the seasons may have been off here in the last 6 months? You know, I'm a waterfowl hunter, and I noticed that the migration of the waterfowl was off for this year. The birds did not show up in the Chesapeake Bay like they normally do, and they were there for a short time and then went right back. Things were off this year. And now, it may get right back to normal for the end of rest of this year. I don't know. But Scripture tells us here that at the end, there will be no normal. It's coming. Changes. Again, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. How do we feel about end time things? Isn't it so easy for us to connect and watch all the YouTube videos, you know, of the tsunami, and for us to watch of the mudslides, and for us to watch, you know, earthquakes and stuff, and how media has built that up, and we can watch, and we're drawn to that things. But brothers and sisters, when those things happen, we're not to look at what's going on. We're not to watch the sea and the waves roar. We're not to be nervous about the way the earth changes. Where are we supposed to look? We're supposed to look up. We're supposed to look up. We are to prepare for His return. And I didn't always see how these next verses to connect, but they connect very well. Again, in verse 29, he said, and then he spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. when they are already budding, you see and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now I know what it feels like after a hard, cold winter to see those little tiny buds on a peach tree. You can still feel the cold in the air, and yet they're still there. Tiny, little, hard little buds of peaches yet to be. And even before the leaves start to grow, you see those little tiny, tiny hard peach buds. And it's a great feeling to stand there in the cold in your jacket, you know, and look at the peach trees and realize, you know what, summer's coming. Summer's coming. And the peaches are sure of it. And even in their own way, they prophesy of it, that summer is coming. And I think Jesus wants us to have that same attitude and even excitement towards him. When we see the earth and its changes, and as we see the end drawing near, we are to have that same, we should get excited that Jesus is coming. When we see and hear the things that Jesus himself prophesied about coming true near the end, we are not to be fearful. We are not to be terrified. We are not to look at the oceans and look at the mountains and be in fear. We are to look up. We are to be prepared. We who know what's coming are to get excited. Verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, I believe this chapter begs us to get ready, to be ready, to stay ready, and not to be terrified or scared. And along those lines, MDS has a few recommendations that will help you and help us get ready. A prepared person, again, is not as scared as one who's completely caught off guard. And there are, coming up here in a brief moments, there will be some practical things that you can take notes on this morning to prepare for potential disaster. And again, MDS says not if, but when. And I am the contact for the MDS update, and I thought it would be an appropriate place to share the MDS update with you. There are some volunteers needed. In West Virginia, they had some heavy flooding in 2015, and quite a few back road little bridges are out. And they're in need of a heavy equipment operator starting in March 21st. So if you know of somebody that operates or used to operate heavy equipment, they're in need of somebody real close to here in West Virginia. A quick story from that is our story with Miss Brownie continues. The interesting thing is that neither she nor her daughter ever asked for help for bridge repair. She claims that an angel brought us to her. Her daughter Priscilla is in tears a lot of the times because she finds our kindness overwhelming. Susan and two volunteers went to visit her again because she really seems to enjoy it. Miss Priscilla and her brother claim Miss Brown seems 10 years younger due to the visits from all the MDS volunteers. And again, something that we can do close to home in West Virginia. There were floods, flash floods in Wyoming in June of 2015 in Lusk, Wyoming. The river Niobrara River flooded the town of Lusk. It's L-U-S-K, Lusk. 14 homes were completely destroyed and 145 experienced major and minor damage. And MDS volunteers are repairing homes and building new homes. And MDS is in need of a short-term volunteer group. If you want to go to Wyoming, March 21st through the 25th, the contact information is here. I'm going to hang it on the bulletin board. But if you would like to go as a group, there's a place for you to go here coming up soon in March in Wyoming. This update is for the week of March 10th, and they do have some information on the Lancaster tornadoes. And so I thought I would read that to you all as well. During the week, a tornado swept through Salisbury Township in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. More than 7,000 volunteers helped in cleanup and rebuilding efforts. Storm Aid, the Lancaster County Amish Disaster Response Group, organized the volunteer response through the White Horse Fire Company. Most of the volunteers came from the local Amish community. A local recovery community, the White Horse Storm Recovery Committee, was established the day after the storm and began accepting donations for materials to rebuild and repair the nearly 30 structures damaged or destroyed by the tornado. The group asked Mennonite Disaster Service to collect funds under the name of the Lancaster County Tornado Fund, and all funds will be forwarded directly to the Recovery Committee by MDS. So if you are looking for a way to participate or to outreach into the local area, the information, again, with MDS is on the back page here and where to send donations, and they will get it to the Recovery Committee there in Whitehorse to help with repair of the tornadoes that happened to us just the other week. And again, we need to be prepared. And so we can ask again, biblically, what are some reasons that we need to be prepared? Yeah, we can see some practical reasons, but biblically, what are some reasons that we need to be prepared? You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I didn't put them up on the board this morning. This time I wanted you to read them yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the church of God who is in Corinth and all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is our call, that we are to take the same comfort which God gives us and share it with others. This is our call. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a great thing. We are to share, to spread the gospel of peace and of grace and comfort with those around us. And this is why we need to prepare our minds and our homes so that we will be able and ready to comfort and care for others, even in a disaster that may affect your own home. So how do you do that? How can you comfort someone, a neighbor, when your house is destroyed too? And MDS has some very practical ways to help you prepare. And they are practical and healthy. And I'm not talking about hoarding here. We're not amassing large quantities of provisions for a day of doom. MDS prepares or recommends that you prepare for a three-day-long emergency. Again, the purpose is for you to be able to comfort others with the comfort that we have in Christ. And how can you comfort others if your house is destroyed? Here again are some practical things to prepare yourself so that when that day comes, you're ready. Because after all, Jesus is the one who told us from Luke 21 that disaster is coming. The first thing, very practical, have 3 days' supply of water for you and your family in your basement and enough water to flush your toilets. Toilets don't take electricity. You can pour water in the bowl. and they work. Very practical. And again, common sense. If you were prepared with your own water and your ability to flush the toilet, you are much happier. And you are able to, and preparing for your flesh, you are able to minister to those around you. It works that way. MDS recommends making a go kit. They call it a go kit. And keep it somewhere other than your house, at a friend's house, at your parents' house. Keep it somewhere where it's first safe and second accessible to you. So you don't want it too far away, but yet they don't recommend it at your house. Have a battery-operated radio and a flashlight with spare batteries, separated all in their own Ziploc bags. Keep that in your go kit. Have an extra change of clothes for each person in your family and a spare blanket or two for any reason, whether it's a tornado or a fire, to be prepared. To keep a USB of your info labeled and well marked in its own little Ziploc bag in your go kit. Everyone should have a backup USB. And MDS says this one is the key. They recommend that you take a digital camera and that you walk in every room of your home and you take a picture of all four walls in every room of your home. In your basement, first floor, second floor, maybe even the exterior of your home, whether you're renting or whether you own, and file all those photos on your USB and keep it somewhere else from your house. The first thing that FEMA does when they come in for disasters, they sit you down in front of a computer screen and you are supposed to type out everything that you lost. How in the world are you going to do that? Over and over again, MDS sees people are just dumbfounded in the face of catastrophe and they can't remember what they had and where it was and what it even looked like. So, common, practical sense. Another thing they said to do, and I really like this one, is take a screenshot or a digital photo of all of your insurance policies with your contact information and put them on the same USB. It'd be a great idea for business as well. Have that information on a little thumb drive. FEMA comes in within days. They set up a computer station and they give you a satellite phone. If you don't have any information, what's a computer good for except to send an email? But if you have a little thumb drive with your insurance policies on it and a picture of what you had in your home, it makes a big difference. And again, these things are not so that you feel comfortable and that you have peace of mind because you have a Ziploc bag with a USB in it. No. Your peace of mind comes from Christ. This information helps you take a breath and minister to your neighbors. When you have that little USB and it's tucked away somewhere, you have the freedom to step aside from your own disaster and lend a hand from the neighbor. You don't have to dig through your own house and look through your own papers, and you don't have to dig through your own rubble to find your own important documents. It's done. It's provided for there. And you're able and free to minister. It's not a scary thing. It's being prepared. And the next point is, do you know what to do if someone gives you a satellite phone? If disaster comes, landlines and cell towers are gone. What would you do with a satellite phone? MDS, again, sees it over and over. They come into a community, they hand somebody a satellite phone, and they don't know who to call. This is something that our congregation is looking into. We haven't developed it, but we're looking into it. They recommend that you have a contact number for each congregation, and I recommend for each family of an out-of-state person who is willing to answer phone calls and take messages so that we can find out if your house is okay, if you are okay. You can check in and say, we're fine here. Or, you know what, our roof blew off here. That information is vital. And they say in disaster, information is almost king. and they recommend having an outside contact person. It would, and if you have a growing family with children living in other places in their own families, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have for your own family a contact person out of state, that you have somebody to call that can take the message and say, we're okay, you know, or we need help. It makes a world of difference. I got to catch up on my notes. Sorry. The other thing that EMDS recommends for you to put in your go kit is some cash, not tons. And again, your hope is not in your green. Your hope is in Christ. But this prepares you to share the hope of Christ with others in a catastrophe or in a disaster, whether it's just your place or it's the whole neighborhood. They recommend somewhere between 3 and 5 days worth of cash. The first thing that not a lot of money, but enough to buy bread and water or whatever you need. FEMA, again, shows up within 2 to 3 days, and they plop Mac machines in the middle of a disaster, and MDS just recommends that you don't stand in that line. That's all. Because they see the line, and it's long. Because people aren't prepared. And again, if you have to stand in line at a Mac machine, you don't have the ability to lend your neighbor a hand, to reach out, to minister. These are all ideas to free you, to open your heart, and to share your hope that you have in Christ. So let's review your go kit. Again, water, and they recommend this primary at your residence, and then somewhere else. Cash, a battery radio, flashlight, change of clothes, extra blanket or two, USB with a picture of the inside of your home and a copy of your insurance policies. And again, all of this should prepare us to serve our neighbors. And this information in this little go kit is not for your peace of mind. You know, it's not so that you can pile up provisions and slam the door on the rest of the world. This basic information is for you to have the freedom to be able to minister to the world around you in the face of a disaster. This go kit I'm outlining for you should you allow you to encourage and help your neighbors. This is what Jesus wants. He wants his children to be willing and prepared, to be ready and waiting for his return, and to be ministering the whole time that we're on this earth. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First 11 verses there. First Thessalonians 5, chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not sons of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify each other, just as you also are doing. And again, another scripture reference for us to be prepared, that we're able to share the hope that we have in Christ. some true and false questions to see if you were paying attention this morning. Brothers and sisters, if we can be prepared for 3 days, we will have peace of mind. False. Your peace of mind does not come from preparedness. Your peace of mind does not come from your insurance policy. Your peace of mind comes from Christ alone. If you build a nuclear-proof shelter and have provisions for your own family to survive for 1 year in the hole in the ground that you dug, then you will have peace of mind. False. I would venture that you might worry more then. My thoughts and prayers for you this morning are that you could and would prepare your own family to be ready for a 3-day interruption of normal life. My goal is not to scare you, but to encourage you to be prepared for ministry. We should always be prepared for ministry. Not that you cannot be, you know, not that you can't be gracious with your neighbors if you don't have the go kick, but let me be clear, when we take care of our flesh, and especially as I think about little children and the dynamics that a disaster would create around little ones, when you are prepared as a parent, then you are free to minister to others instead of just immediately right there, which is good. It's not bad, but it gives you freedom. It really does. And again, I pray this message inspires you to take action not out of fear, but because you connect with the fact that these are prudent, logical steps to take, knowing again that your faith and your hope is not in your go kit, it is in Christ alone. And friends, this morning, I feel the same way about insurance. Our hope is not in our policies. Our peace of mind is not in a piece of paper. And our ability to sleep restfully should not correspond directly with the amount of money and things that we have insured. And you may not agree, but I see the basic insurance as a normal, logical step in preparing yourself and your family for the inevitable. Health insurance. You know, there's many different sharing programs out there. You don't have to get hooked up to the government. In some of the sharing programs, your bill, monthly bill, or your premium that they charge you per month is sent directly to another family that's in need. And when you're in need, someone else pays their premium directly to you. And if that's not biblical health care, I'm not sure what is. And it's affordable. And it's something that I absolutely recommend. Another form of basic insurance is life insurance. And you probably won't hear many preachers talk about life insurance. And again, your hope is not in the piece of paper. And your peace of mind is found in Christ alone. But if you can view life insurance as a logical, prudent step to take to provide for your family, then please do. I encourage you to have a small amount of life insurance. Don't listen to the life insurance salesman. Most salesmen will tell you you need 7 times your income. I'm not there. I'm sorry. I'm not promoting that. I recommend the basic entry-level amount of life insurance. The premiums vary, but round numbers, and I quickly looked this up, if you're between the ages of 20 to 30, and honestly, that's where I recommend young families to have. It's most upheaval when you have little children if one spouse would die. I was there, I guess I can say that. My mom died when I was 6 or 7. So it can happen, but it's approximately, in today's numbers, it's about $120 to $130 a year for a $100,000 policy. It's some money, but it's not tons. I'm sure that it's less than you spend on your cell phone. And as a young person, I recommend, again, both the husband and the wife. I know that there would be a complete upheaval. But if you would have life insurance on your wife or on your husband, if something would happen, you could spend the time that you need to with your own children. And it kind of makes sense. And again, that's not your hope. that does not give you any more freedom that does not give you any more peace of mind. It prepares your family. And I remember very well here, it doesn't seem that long ago, and yet I remember that I had a little baby that couldn't hold still. And I used to sit in the foyer with another man named Nathaniel with a little baby that couldn't hold still. And one morning, on a Sunday morning, he didn't make it to church. He was out early in the morning delivering papers. And Nathaniel was called home, and his young widow and their children were here. And God provided through this church, and I was not a part of the ministry or any part of the decisions, and I was blessed to find out just recently that we were able to provide for them, for that family, for about 2.5 years, their expenses. And I was just blessed. It's a good thing. And I believe church is able to do that. And I don't want to limit God in any way, but on paper, as logical person, on paper we could do that for 2 or 3 widows. And again, I don't want to limit God. I don't know what God can do. But as you, as a young person, as you consider preparing for your family, you know, there's some things for you to weigh out and decide. How do you provide for your family? If a major disaster or catastrophe would come through here, it feels to me on paper our resources would be limited. Now, again, I don't want to limit God. And you can shake your finger at me afterwards if you feel that I am. But again, being prepared and preparing for your family, to me, is logical and makes sense. And I am able to trust in God as I make provisions on earth for my family. And if you see that life insurance is logical and makes sense and does not create undue trust in a piece of paper, then I absolutely recommend it for you. But if you see life insurance as in God's face, and that's not for me, I have to honor that. I'm not telling you you're wrong. But as I weigh out logistics and caring for my family, it's a choice that I make. Because I believe when you have your fleshly, earthly things in order, you are free to minister to those that may not. And that is our goal. That is our purpose. That is the prize that we strive for. We need to be open and free and willing to share with our neighbors. You know, there was some time ago, and I don't know the exact details, but there was some brief thought about putting together a food pantry in this place. And it was kind of kicked around, and we kind of unofficially shared, you know what, everybody should do that in their own homes and be prepared to minister to your own neighbors and to your own families. Because of the distance that we all live from this place, it would be hard for all of us to show up here if there was a disaster, and then all the food would be here, we couldn't get to it. And so, again, the things that you do and that you prepare for your neighbors. Plan to be a blessing to those around you. In closing, I'd like for you to turn to Romans 8. And I'd like for you to key in to the words of hope this morning. I didn't realize that the word hope was so many times in Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at almost the last half of the chapter, starting in verse 18. And I'd like for you to stand this morning as you receive this in closing. And I will read, and you will follow along, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. Receive this as encouragement, as a benediction, as again solidifying where our hope rests. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray or how we ought. For the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. God, we again are thankful for the way that you care for us. God, give us a continued heart to care for others. God, if it was this morning that you touched hearts to prepare, I pray that they would, by your grace and through your ability, that they would prepare, God, so that we all, each one of us, has the ability to reach out to our neighbors, God. God, you have put us each in a specific place. God, you know our neighbors. You know our neighborhoods. You know the people that surround everyone as we leave this place, God. And God, you care for them in the same way that you care for us. Help us to be ready to share your love. Help us to be ready to share your grace. And God, most of all, help us to be ready to share your hope. Because God, we have a hope. We are here because there is hope. We trust in you, we rely on you, and within you is our hope and our strength. And we are so grateful for that this morning. We thank you for the way that you have ministered to us through your word again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The chorister may come and lead us in closing song.